Welcome to the Duhok Dozen podcast, a series of stories of Loras College young alumni from around the globe. Regardless of where they are from or where they are now, their time at Loras connects them all. Let's do this. Welcome to the Duhok Dozen podcast. I'm so happy to introduce you to March's recipient. This month's Duhok Dozen recipient is Josh Ruggles, a 2019 graduate who was a star on the basketball court. He was the American Rivers Conference co-MVP, first team All-District, first team All-Conference, and led Loras to an impressive NCAA Division III tournament run. He's continued his passion with basketball by founding his own company, Prosper Basketball, where he runs camps and clinics to train young athletes and maximize their potential on and off the court. Josh, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me. Excited to be here.
Yeah, we're so excited as well. Well, I want to start off by telling your Loras story. It's kind of how we start every podcast, but I know you transferred into Loras, so I'd love to hear about that whole process. What led you to Loras?
Okay, yeah, great question. So I started off at an NAI school in Indiana called Grace College, and was there just my freshman year, and just wasn't a great fit across the board for me, you know, and so it was time to find a new home, and I had it narrowed down to a couple schools. Really wanted to go somewhere where, you know, maybe I knew the coaches a little bit, knew some people there, but also it was far enough away from home where it didn't feel like I was at home right away. And so I had it narrowed down to a couple schools, and one of my buddies who went to Loras, Matt Dacey, he said, let's flip a coin. So we flipped a coin on it, you know, and it landed on Loras. And it's kind of one of those things, you flip it, you know what you want when it's in the air. But it also just so happened to land on the Loras side. And so the rest was history. At that point, it was like the next day I called up Coach Martin and told him I'm coming. I'm going to be a Duhok. But that is the crazy way that I ended up there.
Oh, my gosh. I love that story. Flip a coin. And you're so right. When you do those types of things, as you're waiting for like the result, it's like that makes your mind like make you know what you actually wanted to land on.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think I honestly knew before flipping it, right? But it was just like, let's stop messing around here. Let's stop, you know, weighing the pros and cons. You've done it for long enough. Just flip the coin, and you know, it all worked out great. So got to give Matt Dacey all the props for that one.
Shout out to Matt Dacey. So where are you from? Because you said you kind of wanted to be near home, but still far enough that it like felt like you had your own thing.
Yeah. I'm from Whedon, Illinois. So yeah, it's weird. Almost anywhere else I could tell people I'm from Chicago, but at Loras, you have to say Whedon because everybody else is from the Chicagoland area too. So that's the hometown.
Awesome. Great. So then you transfer into Loras, you know, you knew you wanted to play basketball, I'm assuming. Did you have an idea of what you wanted to be studying?
Yeah, good question. So my first year of college, I was kind of set up to double major. So initially it was sport management and finance. And I transferred, I flipped it up to education. I said, let's be a teacher. You know, I really enjoy teaching kids, working with kids. Obviously that's what I'm doing now on the basketball side. But I did that for first semester and I loved it. And actually had kind of a health thing that kept me out of basketball for the first semester of sophomore year and really made me think I'd come back for a fifth year as a result. Right. I thought I'd have to sit out the whole year. And so I was like, hey, let's figure this out where I can do education and also do business. And so I started taking some more marketing classes and got cleared on the basketball side. And so at that point I had so many business things already done that I just continued with that path of marketing, and happy I did. I mean, I've got no complaints on it, but, that's how I ended up on marketing. I wasn't like dead set or anything going in.
Gotcha. Okay. That's interesting that kind of injury kind of led you to, or health, you know, related event kind of led you to this new path that maybe you weren't exploring before.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. No, and I think if I had a fifth year, I would have found a way to do both because I really did enjoy the education stuff. But I don't know. It's a sign, you know, you've got the foundation here. Keep going forward with it.
Yeah. What did you enjoy most about your basketball experience at Loras?
Oh, that's a tough question. I didn't try to pinpoint. I mean, honestly, the connections with the teammates and the coaches. I mean, I really, really loved playing for that coaching staff, loved playing with those teammates. That stuff is, that's the stuff that's carried on more than anything else from all of college, is those relationships. So I definitely love that. I mean, our facilities are top notch. So who doesn't love being a part of, you know, that type of experience. And we had great support too from the school, the staff, and you know, the other students. We felt like we were playing for more than just our immediate team, right? We felt like we were really representing Loras. And so it's hard to pick just one, but if I had to go, you know, those three kind of key areas there is what I love the most about it.
That's so great. I love that. And I'm assuming sports were a huge part of your whole life. So how did you kind of approach, you know, you're getting toward graduation, you've been playing sports for a long time. Like, how did you know or approach keeping sports in your life?
Sure. Yeah, no, I mean, I love basketball. I've loved basketball my entire life. And I think, you know, having taken those business classes, one of the things I really enjoyed about some of those classes was the opportunity within class to either kind of come up with your own business idea, you know, during that class and during that semester, or do like different simulations where you could kind of work through and fail a ton, right? But fail to a point where it's not actually impacting your life too much outside of just that simulation. And so that stuff was really valuable to me. And, you know, as I was going through college, I said, hey, let's figure out something to do in the summer, right? Other than just training yourself, you know, what else could I do to make some money, right? And maybe start to build something. And so each summer we would do training stuff. We started off with, you know, a few kids here and there who just want to work on their game. And, you know, word of mouth and different marketing things kind of grew, kind of built up. You know, and so as I was going through it, we had that foundation there with the training. We grew it each summer, and it just kind of became a no-brainer. You know, really enjoyed doing it, had a ton of fun. And it's cool to see other people succeed through hard work. That was something that I think I fell in love with that component of it the most, is seeing these kids learn what hard work really is and then see their growth as a result of it. And so that's kind of what got me into, you know, the point of like, hey, I've got to continue with basketball even when I'm done playing it. Got to find a way to have this as a part of my everyday life.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So was that the beginning of Prosper Basketball then?
Yeah. Prosper Basketball started, I don't know exactly when we put the name on it officially, but, you know, I started doing a little bit of training stuff in high school, just with younger kids who, you know, watched their local high school team play and wanted to be on that stage. And then once I got into college, kind of continued with, and it turned it a little bit more into a business. But yeah, that's when it got started for sure. Early on at Loras.
That's really cool. I can see how then your marketing and business classes kind of, you know, complimented what you were doing in the summers with Prosper.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I'd sit there in class and we'd be talking about some, you know, hypothetical business and learning through that. And I'd be sitting there writing it all down for Prosper Basketball. Like, how do we do this? How does this apply to what I want to do? So the timing was awesome to be able to go through that.
Yeah, that's great. Were any of the coaches at Loras or even in your high school years, do you think they kind of contributed to this like love of coaching and just like teaching people about the sport?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think that was one of the biggest things, you know, for my transfer was throughout high school, I'd played for, you know, I played for four different coaches in high school, three different varsity coaches. And so it's like you go from one coach to the next and loved them, right? Some of them were awesome, had a huge impact. But it's also just a lot to continuously switch from one coach to the next. And so I wanted to find some coaches who I felt like cared about my development as a player, coaches who were very competitive and wanted to win at a high level in everything they did. And also coaches who cared about me off the court too. And so the Loras coaches checked those boxes to a T. One of them was actually coach. So I knew Coach Martin, I knew Coach Miller going into Loras. But our other coach at the time was Coach Oz, and he did some training stuff. So, you know, before coaching at Loras, he was involved with like the Dallas Mavericks, did like a summer training internship thing there. And so every chance they had to be in the gym, kind of putting us through workouts within the, you know, NCAA parameters, they were in the gym. And, you know, I loved that, right? I loved being able to learn what they had to offer, which was a ton. and also see how they approached it. And that definitely impacted my love for training, you know, getting on the flip side. And the other thing too was, you know, big respect to Coach Martin for this one, but my sophomore year, I had to sit out like a little over 3 months with like the health issue I talked about earlier a little bit. And they immediately like pulled me into the office and they're like, hey, you're going to be basically a coach for the next 3 months. Like, we're going to have you engaged in all the practice planning, the training, like anything you can do. This is not time off for you. And it was really cool. You know, it was cool to see the other side of it, to see, to get that insight. Definitely impacted my playing career the rest of the way, but for sure poured into my love for coaching and my love for training.
Yeah. Wow. That's really cool. I feel like that is not the first time I've heard a story like that with some Loris coaches and everything. Yeah. So it's just really cool that that's the sort of environment that they're fostering with their athletes.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think, I was just talking about it the other day with a couple other buddies who I graduated with. And we said, Denise, the AD, she needs more love for what she's done over there in terms of just bringing in great coaches. I have no clue what it was like before she took over, but I feel like everywhere I look, there's different sports teams that are ranked now. You know, it's like a place people really want to be at. And you chalk that up to great coaching, but someone's got to put those people in place too. So respect to her because she has killed it ever since she's gotten there.
Yeah, that's so true. So for you, what is your sort of favorite part of coaching? Like, what's the most rewarding thing, and maybe what are the challenges?
Yeah. I you know, those two things probably go hand in hand, right? I think, you know, most rewarding thing is connecting with those kids. You know, long basketball career, and I think everybody who's played sports for an extended period of time would say that you've had coaches who really poured into your love for the game. And then you probably have some coaches who kind of take away, you know, from your love for that sport. And so that's molded my approach to coaching. And, you know, that's what I love the most is being able to pour into the love that they have for that sport. All right. We always say in our programs, like, we want them to come. We want them to you know, grow their skills for the game of basketball. We want them to grow their knowledge of the game of basketball. But more than anything else, we want their passion for the game to really grow as well, because it's a long career. If you don't love it, you're not going to make it to the end of the line with it. So I really enjoy that aspect, making it fun for these kids, but also, you know, putting them in that environment where it's going to be tough, right? It's going to be hard. You have to push yourself out of your comfort zone to get better as a basketball player. And obviously that applies to every aspect of your life as well. So that can be tough, right? It can be hard to find the balance of like having a relationship with these kids where you guys can have some fun and pour into that joy, like I said, but also being able to really push them to their limits and show them that their limits are maybe a little bit past what they think their limits are. That can be a challenge as well, but the challenging parts are what make it fun too, you know? So I don't know if I don't have any complaints about the hard parts of the job. It's all awesome for sure.
That's great. I love hearing that. Is there any moment that stands out to you that it was really, you really knew you were doing what you were supposed to be doing, that you're doing something you love and you're great at it? Anything that sticks out to you?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I don't know if there's one specific moment. I'll tell you, during COVID, you know, it was a weird time. It was a really weird time during COVID for everybody. And I think just the uncertainty, right? Nobody really knowing what was going on. And actually, we said, hey, we're going to find a way to give kids something to do, right? Everybody's sitting at home right now. I mean, that's got to just be terrible for your mental health. So we're going to find a way to keep basketball in these kids' lives. And if nothing else, it's a way for them to go burn off some energy. So we kept our doors open. I mean, we did everything the best we could in terms of like cleaning the floor and, you know, masking and, you know, whatever you need to do there. But that was a moment, you know, that summer, I was like, man, this is definitely, that's just so rewarding, right? Just to see those kids, I mean, going through a really tough time in life, something nobody's really got experience with, and being able to smile through it a little bit and being able to continue to work hard through that time and not just sit home and play video games. And it was really cool too, because I was doing it with two of my Loris teammates, actually four of our Loris teammates, but two like full time. And so that summer was probably where I was like, this is what I want to do, right? I have to be involved with basketball to some extent. I have to be able to, you know, pass on what I've learned and pass on the joy that I have for the game to the next generation. So probably that COVID summer, you know, it wasn't one specific moment, but just being able to be creative through that time, being able to work with a ton of kids through that time and see the joy on their face and to see them grow, you know, it's super rewarding and it just makes you fall in love with it.
Wow. Yeah, that's really special. And I feel like that happened to a lot of people during the COVID years, right? Like everyone was home. You had so much time to like think and reflect. And if you like, I just think it made people realize the things they actually really enjoyed doing and what they wanted to do with their life.
Yeah. Yeah. It was definitely a time of reflection. There's no question totally. About that. But totally. Yeah, I think just the mental side, everybody's mental health during that is you had to compete a little bit with yourself to be able to stay in a good spot mentally and just providing an outlet for, you know, hundreds of kids was awesome that summer for sure. And great for us too. I mean, we were, you know, we needed that too on our side.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Well, you're a few years out from graduating from Loras. Since you've graduated, are there any moments where you were, you know, sort of impressed or just excited by DuHawks supporting you as another DuHawk? Anything that stuck out for you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is a cool one, right? To have somebody you went to school with nominate you for something like this is pretty sweet. You know, I don't – DuHawks supporting DuHawks, like there's – you see them everywhere. DuHawks are everywhere, right? Especially being in the Chicagoland area, everywhere I look, there's somebody who went to Loras or somebody who knows somebody who went to Loras. And, you know, you support each other in a variety of ways. But I also think for us now, what's really exciting is to kind of be on the flip side a little bit, right? And now we get to support the current teams and cheer them on from afar. And you know, how do we support them in different ways? Well, some of those kids are kids that we've trained in the past, right? Or going out to games or, you know, going crazy on Twitter. You know, like we all love pumping our teams up on Twitter. You know, so that's the fun stuff now, I think, for us is that our team, we talk about all the time, you know, how we can support the next generation of Loras basketball players. And they're killing it this year. You know, they're trying to be better than us, which is exciting to see. And we're rooting for them. We hope they make it further than we did, for sure. But, yeah, that's in terms of DuHawks supporting DuHawks, it's, you know, more than anything, I think it's really our time to – we had so many people support us when we were there. So now it's our turn to flip it around and support the kids who are going through it right now.
Oh, I love that. Kind of flipping it around. You're supporting the DuHawks. That's so great.
Yeah.
Well, you sort of mentioned, you know, the person who nominated you, how that's just been a cool moment for you. I have a message from the person who nominated you, and I'm going to play it for you right now.
All right.
Hey, Josh, this is Andrew Grossclaus from the Loras College Class of 2019. Congratulations on your DuHawk Dozen Award. You were definitely a slam dunk of a pick, and you were extremely impactful during your time at Loras here in the classroom, on our floor in Binns Hall, on the basketball court, and beyond. And just as a reminder from your time at Loras, you were the American Rivers Conference MVP, first team all district, two team all conference, but more importantly, from the time that you transferred in our sophomore year during our developmental psychology class, you really stepped up to be a leader on campus, and you brought our school together to cheer and root on Loras basketball. And I have a lot of fun memories of packing the AWC to root for you guys during that historic tournament run, bringing us to the Sweet 16 for the first time in school history. And all along the way, you really embodied the phrase DuHawks supporting DuHawks because you were invested in other clubs and activities, and just a great leader all around campus. Congratulations on all your success with Prosper Basketball, and you're going to inspire and uplift tons of kids to be the best that they can be, just like you did at Loras. So go DuHawks, Josh, and can't wait to see all the future success that you have.
That's
what
pretty
do you think?
Cool. That's pretty cool right there. Of course, he's sitting with the shades on by the pool. No question about it. He's got to be doing that right now. But that kid is a legend, and Yeah, it's. I mean, that's a really cool part of Loris, right? I mean, I still run into him all over the place, whether it be when we go back to campus or at the local gym around here. So, yeah, Andrew's a legend. It's pretty cool.
It's so fun getting to play those for the people who have been nominated. It's really, really special. Well, to kind of wrap things up here at the end, I just wonder if you have any sort of final thoughts or words about continuing to be involved with Loris and just staying connected post-graduation.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think one thing that's a good challenge, probably a challenge we have to make for ourselves. You know, when we went through, I think some Andrew kind of hit on there is that when we went through college, one thing that we really worked to do as a team was branch out beyond just our team, right? And connect with more kids on campus within other sports, right? Go out to different sporting events or go out to, you know, like plays and musicals, like all that type of stuff. So I think a good challenge for every alumni, especially athletes, is to continue to stay connected with your team. That's probably easy though, but to stay connected with people outside of just your core group. You know, that's why cool things like this happen with Andrew, but that's a good challenge. I would say to the kids who are still in college, if they're watching this at all, definitely enjoy your time. I can't tell you how many times people came up to me or coaches brought in alumni, and the message was always the same, and that's that it flies by, right? It goes really quick. So you need to enjoy it as you're going through it. And, you know, that's, you just kind of roll your eyes when you're in that situation. But when you're on the flip side, you're like, man, they were right. They weren't lying to me. So enjoy those moments that you have on campus. Get out of your comfort zone. Go meet as many people as you can. Expand your network. Support each other. And good things come of it for sure.
That was awesome. Thank you. Yeah. Well, actually, that wasn't the final thing. I would love to end with a little rapid fire questions, 12 of them, if you're up for it.
Let's do it.
Okay, cool. Is your bed made right now?
Yep.
Your go-to lazy dinner.
Oh, lazy dinner. Oh, I like steak. It's not lazy, but I'm going to go with steak.
Nice. That's great. Your favorite time of day?
Morning. I like the sun coming up.
Totally. Offense or defense?
Oh, offense for sure. Defense is completely overrated.
A show that you're currently binging?
I'm watching for like the 10th time. I love New Girl. It's hysterical. So I'm going through that again.
That's a good one. What's your go-to karaoke song?
Oh, no, I don't sing. Not at all. I just break out the dance moves. I don't think I'd have, nobody wants to hear that. So we'll stick to dancing.
Perfect. Travel to the past or travel to the future?
Past for sure.
Awesome. Cannonball into the pool or dip your toe first?
Cannonball, absolutely. Yeah, I can't. It's too cold to just sneak into it.
Sweet or savory?
Sweet.
One lesson you wish you'd learned sooner?
Don't take anything for granted, right? Enjoy the parts that even stink. You know, they don't actually stink. That stinks more being on the flip side. So enjoy it all.
Totally. Purple or gold?
Gold, always.
Nice. And your favorite spot on campus?
Einstein's Bagels, definitely.
Totally. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Josh. It was really great getting to talk to you today. I know everyone's going to love this episode.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Of course. And thanks to everyone for tuning in to another episode of the DoHawk Dozen podcast. Be sure to stay tuned for next month's new recipient.